You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
Pantomime, or panto for short, is a particularly popular theater form in England, especially around the Christmas season. And panto now has come to a new theater located in East Van on Commercial Drive. The theater is called the York Theater, and this panto is called Jack and the Beanstalk. Comedian Charlie Demers has written the script. To discuss the pantomime at the York Theater, which is now pleasing audiences of all ages, we've contacted Charlie Demers. Good morning, Charlie, and welcome back to Red Eye.
Good morning. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, it's our pleasure. First of all, can you explain what panto is to a poor Canadian kid like me?
Oh, yeah. No, it's and that's one of the, not so much challenges, but one of the things that, you know, we had to do with the show was to... and so you'll find that it the show starts off actually with a sort of explanation from the narrator as to what kind of show these kids and grown-ups are watching. Because that, as you mentioned in the introduction, it's a very kind of known and popular form in Britain, but over here it's not quite so well known. So. I actually did an interview with French CBC last week, and I said, so pantomime, so there's no talking, which would have been a lot easier to write. But no, it's not the Marcel Marceau pantomime. It's panto is essentially a kind of participatory, almost a burlesque of a popular fairy tale. It's usually one of five fairy tales, and the audience, essentially the kids in the audience, but also the grown-ups, are sort of invited to kind of make their presence felt. They boo the bad guys, they cheer for the good guys. If someone's on stage behind a character and they can't see them, the kids in the audience are supposed to yell, he's behind you, or look behind you. If one of the characters says, oh yes it is, the kids in the audience say, oh no it isn't. So there are other little traditions to the form that kind of appear throughout the show. The other thing that's supposed to happen is that there's supposed to be, in addition to the show for kids, there's supposed to be sort of body humor for the adults that ideally goes over the kids' heads, and as well as a lot of local and political and topical references. And I think that was one of the reasons that Theater Replacement, the theater company that I'm working with to do the show, that they were interested in sort of bringing the tradition to East Vancouver.
Well, I can certainly identify with that Radio Canada interviewer, because I also was about to ask you, what, there's no talking in this?
Yeah, so. Well, we all, and we all kind of were very new to pantomime. We kind of... there was a lot of Wikipedia and a lot of YouTubing. We all sort of started earlier this year with kind of a general sense of what panto was, and we actually got a lot of help from people in town. Our director, Ami Gladstone, met with a sort of local panto aficionado who sort of filled us in on kind of the checklist of traditions. I think we've come pretty close. There were a lot of, on the preview nights, there were a lot of English accents in the lobby and people telling us that we'd sort of gotten it. And actually at the gala opening on December 6th of the theater, which was the reopening of the York Theater, which is this refurbished 100-year-old East End theater, there were some old company members from the Little Theater Company, which did shows in the space, you know, decades ago, and they had grown up in England, and they were very happy with what we had done with the form and how close we'd hit it. So we felt pretty good about that.
Now, you mentioned that part of pantomime is it's supposed to appeal to everybody from age 5 to 105.
Yeah.
What are some of the difficulties or challenges in trying to create a play that will reach such a broad audience?
I have to say I actually found it more liberating than anything else, because I found that I could, at least in my mind, justify almost any joke that came to me as I was writing the script. So if something felt very broad and kind of easily accessible and maybe a little slapsticky, and then I thought, well, this is great because the kids will get it. And then if I felt like something was a little bit more subtle or more biting or a little bit more mature in its thematic concerns, then I could sort of say, well, yeah, but this is for the grown-ups. So I actually found it really kind of a blast to write. I mean, there's always the concerns that I guess the major concern is just to make sure that you alternate between those kinds of jokes fast enough that no one is ever just kind of sitting there thinking, oh, well, this big chunk of the play isn't for me. I guess, you know, that was part of the challenge.
The panto, the basic story of your panto is Jack and the Beanstalk,
yeah,
which everybody knows, I'm sure. But what contemporary dimensions did you bring into that folktale?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as we said, as I said, the pantomime is usually one of five fairy tales. It's either Jack and the Beanstalk or Aladdin or Cinderella, Puss in Boots. There's another one, it's a British one that I... was not familiar to me. But we just sort of thought that Jack and the Beanstalk, kind of right out of the gates, was perfect for East Van, this story of this, you know, poor kid with his single mom and, you know, the story of growing a big plant that brings you fortune. That's something that many Vancouverites can relate to. So we just thought that for us, Jack and the Beanstalk was kind of filled with all the kind of local and political stuff that we wanted to play with. And so, you know, we were able, I think, without warping the story all that much, able to make it a little kind of funny parable about gentrification and what Jack is willing or able to do to be able to afford to stay in his neighborhood.
So what? Who have you got representing the giant who's protecting his fortune from Jack?
Well, the giant is still the giant, but he lives in the great condo in the sky, and instead of a goose that lays the golden eggs, he has a backyard chicken who lays the golden eggs. All of the characters there, a few extra ones thrown in. The narrator of our story is Ray Nader, the narrator of Buy Now, Pay Nader Realty Corporation. He's the one who sells Jack the magic beans for his cow, or trades Jack the magic beans for his cow. In doing so, he assures Jack that these are magic Vancouver beans that cannot go down in value because overseas investors love them. It's the usual cast of Jack and the Beanstalk, but with definitely an East Vancouver specifically, but Vancouver generally twist.
See, now I would have guessed that the giant would have been the real estate developer in this story, but
no, he's the one who
sells the beans.
The real estate developer set him up in his condo in the sky.
Now, part of panto, of course, is that the audience, they recognize the elements you put in, the references that you're displaying now, and knowledge of the local situation. That's part of the fun for the audience. So I'm wondering if you don't hang out on Commercial Drive, are you likely to miss a lot in the play?
I don't think you'll miss it. Maybe there'll be a greater enjoyment moving out in concentric circles from Commercial. But I don't think so. I mean, I think it's we did want to be aware of let's not do something that's incomprehensible west of Cambie or east of Boundary Road. So we have written something that I think anyone from Vancouver is going to be able to get, and I'd go so far as to say out of town guests will enjoy it as well. Maybe not all of the references quite as much, but it's you know, we wanted to do something that's universal, and so. We've written a story that I think is very recognizable, but loaded up with a lot of Vancouver in jokes.
Now, how about you? How are you enjoying the performances?
It's really incredible to see for me because you know, I mostly work in stand-up comedy and I write books and so for me I'm usually kind of left, you know, with my words or at best, you know, my own voice and whatever I sort of imagine kind of has to be transmitted that way. So it's been incredible to collaborate on this show and to see what I've written kind of done up, you know, not only by absolutely wonderful cast of performers and with music by Veda Hilly, who's just you know, fantastic, but also to see the thing on a great big colorful set. I mean, this is a really beautiful show, which is, I think, a part of the real joy of it. It's incredibly colorful, and the backdrops, which were painted by Laura Zarabeski, who's an East Van artist. She's really just made an absolutely beautiful kind of tribute to the neighborhood.
Are you performing in the show too, or have you just written?
I'm not. I've just written it, and which is you know, odd for me. I'm used to being up on stage with whatever I've written, and it's odd in mostly very good ways. But I do have to admit, when I was sitting there on opening night, I felt myself shifting a little bit in my seat and kind of putting myself in the actor's positions, imagining how I would deal with given situations. It's like that thing when you're learning to drive and your mom or dad is in the passenger seat sort of pumping a phantom brake. I had elements of that watching the show and not performing in it, but these folks who were in the cast, Rogi Yu, Maiko Bay Yamamoto, Patty Allen, Alan Zinnick, and Don Petten, they're absolutely phenomenal. And Veda, of course, is incredible as well. And so it's mostly just been a joy to watch for me.
Great. Well, it's been a real delight talking to you, Charlie.
Thank you so much for having me.
And congratulations on the play and everybody who's worked on it.
Thank you. Much appreciated. I'll pass it along.
I've been speaking with comedian and writer Charlie Demers, who wrote the script for Jack and the Beanstalk, playing now at the newly refurbished York Theatre on Commercial Drive.